From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
It's 68 degrees in Lawrence, 67 in Topeka, 68 in Abilene. It is 6:06.
The shutdown continues. But that said, it is not clear exactly how much of an immediate impact we would see. At least one major carrier, Alaska Airlines, says it will continue flights for now, even without that subsidy. And it is likely that the smaller regional airlines that operate most of these flights would do the same, at least for a while. I also want to note the White House proposed cutting more than $300 million from that program earlier this year, even though it has broad bipartisan support in Congress.
Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome.
And Pierce Joel Rose.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, actually many frequencies all across the state, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also listen through the KPR app.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Coming up in our next half hour news headlines, then doctors are reacting to the latest CDC directive regarding the updated COVID-19 vaccine. Find out what they have to say. We will learn all about arguments at the Supreme Court today. The court, according to Nina Totenberg, seemed pretty skeptical on Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for minors. Minors like children, not like coal miners. Also, we will talk about Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin, which has stopped performing abortions, even though they're legal in that state, because of a new rule stopping Medicaid funding for clinics that provide abortions. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute. Dr. Barbara Ballard and Student Advisory Board alum Jesse Burbank moderate healthcare in the U.S. Constitution. With Harvard Law's I. Glenn Cohen, October 15th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Stay with us following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR1 stations. We have news headlines, then Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR2, stick around at 7 o'clock for Reveal. Lows in the mid-40s tonight. Right now, 67 degrees in Topeka, 67 in Manhattan. It is 620.
In North America, and the ideological counterpart to Charlie Kirk. Kirk's assassination disturbed him, and in the weeks after, he was troubled by the clampdown on free speech.
They're trying to mobilize against all kinds of political dissidents. They want to stamp it out.
Hassan Piker on the state of free speech, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio is your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Stick around. News headlines coming up next. 68 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:30.
Of the early 2000s when the NASDAQ crashed 77% and led to a recession. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Stocks finished lower on Wall Street, snapping a seven-day winning streak. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. 1 week into the government shutdown fight, the Kansas federal delegation is sticking to party lines. The state's 2 U.S. senators and 3 out of 4 representatives are Republicans. None of them have called on party leaders to negotiate with Democrats to end the shutdown. At a press conference with Kansas media, Republican U.S. Senator Roger Marshall said Democrats are making unreasonable demands for extending tax credits that make healthcare more affordable for some people.
So I'm very willing to try to fix healthcare. That's really what we should be focused on. But when there's a shutdown, we can't do it.
Democratic Representative Charisse Davids says she supports her party's push to extend the tax credits. She also backs legislation to keep the Federal Aviation Administration operational while the shutdown persists. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office is warning residents of a scam involving a caller pretending to be a sheriff's deputy. The caller identifies himself as Deputy Williams and offers to settle unpaid tickets or outstanding warrants by accepting Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. The sheriff's office says residents should always be wary of calls from people claiming to be government officials or bank employees. KVOE reports the sheriff's office does have a Deputy Williams, but he has nothing to do with the calls. Meanwhile, police in neighboring Coffee County are warning of a different scam. This one targets the families of people who are incarcerated. In this scam, the callers pretend to be county officials who can get their loved ones out of jail if they pay $1,200. The Coffee County Sheriff's Office told KVOE only approved companies should be used for posting bonds. And with federal grant money drying up, Lawrence Transit is proposing a new $3 fare for its on-demand service, which is currently free. The agency says buses on regular routes would still be free to ride. Lawrence Transit says about 8% of its scheduled on-demand trips are no-shows. By imposing a $3 fare, the agency says there would be fewer no-shows, leading to more reliable service and better availability. The Lawrence Transit Advisory Board will hear a presentation on the proposal later this month. You're listening to KPR. It is 6:35.
Yes, we've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations from 5 to 9 a.m. You will hear Morning Edition with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center welcoming the Imagination Movers. The children's music group is seen on Disney Plus Saturday, October 18th, 2 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well. Lots of other frequencies, too. You'll find a full listing of them at our website, where we're always streaming, kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival, October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field, featuring Stanley Clark and more. Event details at monarchsbaseball.com.
Stick around. We will have news headlines coming your way at 7:01 on your KPR1 stations, followed by Stardate, then classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next we have Reveal. Clear skies tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 70s. Tomorrow night, a low in the lower 50s. It's 67 degrees in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Hassan Piker is one of the most popular leftist influencers out there. He discusses the state of free speech after Charlie Kirk's assassination tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR station. Start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news with Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANB and KANB HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Yoga Center of Lawrence, offering Iyengar Yoga that utilizes props as aids for students of all ages and abilities. In downtown Lawrence, pictures, schedules, and registration available at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. It is all followed by Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, celebrating National Fossil Day, Wednesday, October 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Dyke Hall on the KU campus. Event details at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Clear skies tonight with a low down in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunshine and a high in the lower 70s. Lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow night, beginning a gradual warm-up on Thursday. With highs back into the 70s, we'll be back into the 80s on Friday. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the Trump administration may be able to justify withholding back pay for federal workers. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports Republican leaders say they're taking another look at a law that guarantees back pay for workers once the shutdown ends.
Speaker Johnson said while he has not talked to the White House about the plan, there are some legal analysts who say back pay may not be required under the 2019 law.
But there are legal analysts who think that that is not something that government should do. That, if that is true, that should turn up the urgency and the necessity of the Democrats doing the right thing here.
But a top Senate Appropriations Democrat, Patty Murray of Washington, calls such arguments by President Trump and other Republicans lawless.
Trump doesn't get to change the rules and rob workers just because he's worried his shutdown is backfiring.
President Trump signed the 2019 measure into law after the longest government shutdown in history. Claudia Rizales, NPR News, the Capitol.
Texas National Guard troops have arrived in Chicago under orders from President Trump. Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider reports similar deployments in San Francisco and Portland are on hold for now.
Trump has federalized the Texas National Guard by invoking Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution. It allows Congress to summon the militia to suppress a rebellion or where the president is unable to enforce U.S. law with regular forces. Law professor Jeffrey Korn of Texas Tech University says that rationale may be difficult to argue in court.
All these statements of war zones, and Portland is a war zone, and Chicago is the worst city in the world. When these cases get into court, the administration lawyers have to back that up with facts. And to date, they have been unable to do that successfully.
A U.S. District Court judge in Illinois is set to reconsider a request to block the deployment on Thursday. For NPR News, I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
The International Energy Agency has cut its growth forecast for America's renewable energy market. That comes after the elimination of federal tax incentives and efforts by the Trump administration to limit construction of wind and solar projects. NPR's Michael Copley reports the slowdown could come at a time when the U.S. electricity demand is rising.
The IEA's latest forecast for renewable energy development in the U.S. is almost 50% lower than last year's. That could create challenges to economic growth. Energy analysts and executives say renewables are crucial to help meet rising U.S. power demand from new data centers and factories. While activity in the U.S. renewables market is expected to slow, the IEA says growth is still strong globally. The agency expects power capacity from renewables to double by 2030, and for renewables to overtake coal as the world's largest source of electricity generation by the middle of next year at the latest. Michael Copley, NPR News.
Wall Street's record-breaking rally ran out of steam today. The S&P 500 dipped 0.4%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 7th. The bull is charging into the evening sky. Taurus is in full view by about 11 o'clock, low in the east. He stands high in the south before dawn. He's rising earlier each night and will be in view all night long by about Thanksgiving. All the stars rise 4 minutes earlier each night, a result of Earth's motion around the sun. Earth makes one full turn on its axis against the background of distant stars every 23 hours and 56 minutes. So if you looked at the sky every 23 hours and 56 minutes, and you could see through the daytime glare, you'd always see the same stars in the same position. But during that period, Earth moves along its orbit around the sun. The distance it covers means the planet has to turn 4 extra minutes for the sun to reach the same position in the sky. That makes a day 24 hours long. And it also means that the background stars rise and set 4 minutes earlier on our 24-hour clock. As a result, every star and constellation is in prime evening view at different times of the year. For Taurus, it's fall and early winter, the time the bull charges across the evening sky. For now, look for Taurus beginning in late evening. Its brightest star is Aldebaran, the bull's eye. His face is outlined by a V-shaped pattern of stars to the upper right of Aldebaran, and his shoulder is the sparkly little Pleiades star cluster well above Aldebaran. More about Taurus tomorrow. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Fugal Overture from 1922 by Gustav Holst here on KPR. David Lloyd-Jones and the Scottish National Orchestra. Good Tuesday evening, friends. I'm Destiny. Thank you for being here with me tonight. I hope you got through your Monday and, well, you've gotten through your Tuesday. I have some fun music this hour. I know I say that a lot, but this is a heavy hitter of an hour of the romantic music, shall we say. Next hour, I'll play the classics, but I decided to go reverse order. So, at around 7:30, I'm playing Capriccio Espagnol by Rimsky-Korsakov. It's quite a magnificent dance if you haven't heard it. It features a lovely violin solo and orchestra. And speaking of that, well, perhaps I should give the piano a shout-out. Why don't we listen to Fauré's Fantasy for Piano and Orchestra? This is a lovely 15 minutes into lush music with Andrew Davis and the Philharmonia Orchestra. The pianist is Daniel Varseno. It's right now on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you.
fabulous foray, his fantasy for piano and orchestra here on Kansas Public Radio. Daniel Varsano was the pianist with the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Davis. Wow, that was pretty. I liked that a lot. I hope you did too. Fantasies make me think of kings and queens and princes and princesses. That was your hint for something we're going to listen to at 7:45. Is it too soon to talk about Christmas? Yes, but I know many of you love KPR's Big Band Christmas. I just wanted to let you know we have a date for it now, December 13th, and tickets are going to go on sale this Saturday. So get an early shot at those tickets. Go to kansaspublicradio.org. But back to Halloween, because that holiday is coming up next. We are having KPR's live day, the Friday before the Friday that's Halloween. It is October 24th at 7 p.m. and it's free at the Lawrence Public Library. There's actually going to be music all day, but I'm going to play a spooky Halloween concert for you at 7 p.m. I would love to meet you. So come meet me in person. I'll be playing the violin, not just the radio. It's going to be fun. Check it out at kansaspublicradio.org. And now we're going to listen to a great violinist of this orchestra. I'm not sure who the concertmaster is on this recording, though I'd like to find out because the violin solo is tough and well played. Capriccio Español by Rimsky-Korsakov with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Phil, right now on KPR.
Thank you. Wow. Epic. Rimsky-Korsakov often is. Here on KPR, his Capriccio Español, Leonard Bernstein, and the New York Philharmonic. Woo! That is exciting music. Indeed, it is. I'm just opening this whole evening classical with big and heavy hitters, aren't I? Don't worry. Next hour, I will calm things down with some classical music. I would like to stick in the fantasy theme. Let's talk about Prince Igor. You all know those famous dances. If you don't, you're about to, but I bet many of you have heard these by Borodin, the Polovtsian dances. You know, I never really used to know how to say that word because it's very common to play in orchestra, but everyone pronounces it differently, so I've heard it so many different ways. Anyways, a shout out to Julian, the translation guy on YouTube. He helped me write that wrong. Okay, this is the Philharmonia Orchestra with Herbert von Karajan, Borodin's Polovtsian Dances from the opera Prince Igor on KPR.
Polovtsian Dances here on KPR by Borodin, Herbert von Karajan, and the Philharmonia Orchestra. You know, every time I hear the very first movement of this, I'm always reminded of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. They sound quite similar. Well, this has been a very exciting hour of music. I am going to calm things down with next hour's classical choices. A little Mozart, a little Haydn, here on KPR.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, you hear directly from people in the headlines, whether you agree with them or not.
Zohran Mamdani, presumptive Democratic nominee for mayor in New York City.
Steve Bannon, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Steve, always great.
That is Tricia McLaughlin. She's Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security. Madam Assistant Secretary.
It's our job to bring you different views and to question everyone fairly. Join us weekday mornings.
Wow, this playout music is pretty dramatic. Morning Edition is here for you, weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Hopefully that sounded dramatic, too. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Rocky Horror Picture Show, showing October 23rd through the 25th. Details are at theaterlawrence.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A ground stop has been issued at Nashville's airport due to a staffing shortage, and delays are being reported across the U.S. during the government shutdown. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy yesterday blamed the nationwide delays on an uptick in air traffic control workers calling in sick. Attorney General Pam Bondi sparred with Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee today. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, lawmakers raised concerns that the Department of Justice has been weaponized to go after President Trump's political enemies.
Committee Democrats used their time to press Pam Bondi on a slew of recent moves that they say are politically motivated, including the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey and the decision to close a federal probe into border czar Tom Homan, who allegedly accepted a $50,000 bribe from an undercover FBI agent. Many exchanges grew heated, including this one with California Democrat Adam Schiff.
You can attack me after my time is over.
Oh, you've attacked all of us, including President Trump, for your entire career.
You can attack me later, and I know you've got plenty of canned attacks. We've heard them all day today.
Senate Republicans praised Bondi's work, saying she's repaired an agency that had previously been weaponized against President Trump. Elena Moore, NPR News.
The U.S. Supreme Court appeared skeptical on Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for minors today. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports the case pits conservative Christian groups against the LGBTQ plus community.
Supporters of conversion therapy contend that it succeeds in curing a person's attraction to the same sex, in other words, making a gay person straight, and similarly, curing a person's desire to change their gender identity. And they argue that barring licensed therapists from using conversion therapy when it's purely talk therapy violates the First Amendment right to free speech. But half the states have enacted these bans, and every major medical association opposes the therapy on grounds that it leads to deep depression and suicidal thoughts in minors. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
A new combination of drugs looks promising for people with some forms of advanced prostate cancer. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
The study looked at what happened when a drug called niraparib, which treats ovarian and breast cancer, is added to a combination of two other drugs used as standard treatment for prostate cancer. Researchers at the University College of London followed 700 patients with certain genetic alterations in their prostate cancer for over 2.5 years. It found adding the third drug reduced risk of progression by 37% overall and nearly half among those with certain specific genetic markers. The combination also significantly delayed onset of symptoms. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
Stocks closed down slightly today, ending a record-breaking rally. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the estate of Joan Beacrock, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Start to our hour here on KPR with the Laban Brass Ensemble playing Bach's Prelude and Fugue. 1712. Wow. Amazing indeed. A noble way, like I said, to start this second hour of Evening Classical before some calming, lovely classical music. Hi there. I'm Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me. I've got some Haydn, Mozart this hour. You know, I realize it's Tuesday and I haven't yet asked anyone to send in requests for Saturday's show. My goodness, it's the show where you help me pick the playlist. Go to kansaspublicradio.org/classics-by-request and there's a form you can fill out and let me know what you'd like to hear. You can also just mill about our website and navigate to the shows tab and click on the show classics by request. It's 1 to 4 on Saturdays and I get some really great requests, fun requests, crazy requests. It's all, I love it all. Thank you, dearest of listeners. All right. Well, I thought a Mozart serenade might be a nice way to spend our time tonight. So we're going to listen to Mozart's Serenade No. 5. This recording features Orchestra de Verne with Jacques Kantarov as the violinist. Very intriguing. I hope you enjoy. I know I'm a little bit biased towards violin since I play the thing myself. All right, Mozart, right now on KPR. Thank you. Mozart's Serenade No. 5 here on KPR with the Orchestra de Verne and Jacques Kantoroff, the violinist. You know, sometimes these recordings cut off at the end when there's reverb, so I have to come in at the right moment so you don't notice. I know, the tricks of radio. We try to make it really enjoyable. Here at Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, lots of different frequencies. Such great listeners. Thank you to all of you listeners who donated during our fundraising drive. We so appreciate you for that. And if you haven't yet, it's never too late to support us. We take support all year long. You could even become a sponsor, such as, like this spot I'm about to read. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Mariachi Garibaldi and Ballet Folklorico del Rio Grande, October 10th at 7:30 p.m. Details at jccc.edu/mtc and the University of Kansas. Creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Info about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. All right. Well, to close our hour of the lovely classics, I thought a Haydn piano sonata might be nice. I know I've played a lot of violin and brass, but now we're going to listen to just the piano in all of its glory. And Anne-Marie McDermott has a wonderful recording of Haydn's Piano Sonata No. 3. It is right now for you and me. That rhymed on Kansas Public Radio.
Anne-Marie McDermott playing Haydn's Piano Sonata number 43 here on Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for being here with me, folks. Keep it right here at Kansas Public Radio. NPR News is up next, and then Jazz in the Night. See you soon on KPR.
On Morning Edition, we hear from people with all kinds of expertise.
Trey Ryder, cornhole analyst.
Lawrence Gottrich is our heavy metal expert at NPR Music, and he's here.
KLCC's Brian Bull shadowed a hornet hunter. Something about Love Island USA expert. So, Brittany, for those who have not seen Love Island.
Learn something new with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Chicagoans are bracing for the deployment of National Guard troops. Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker says troops from Illinois and Texas's National Guard have already arrived and will begin operations in the city later this week. He says President Trump is using troops as political pawns and is calling on citizens to document their activities.
What we can't do is just sit idly by while these things are occurring, and that's why we've called on people to take action, like creating evidence for our court cases by pulling out their iPhones and their Android phones and filming everything.
Trump characterizes Chicago as a war zone and has said he would be willing to invoke the Insurrection Act. That's the law that allows a president to dispatch the military in states that are unable to put down an insurrection or are defying federal law. Illinois sued to block Trump's move. A judge gave the administration 2 days to respond to it. A new White House memo is raising questions about whether furloughed federal workers will receive back pay when the government reopens. From member station WAMU, Jenny Abamu reports.
The White House is making the case that hundreds of thousands of furloughed federal workers are not automatically guaranteed back pay. The memo seeks to reinterpret a 2019 law passed during Trump's first term to protect furloughed workers, like Sarah Coburn at the National Institutes of Health. She still wants Democrats to hold the line.
Am I afraid of that consequence? Yeah, of course. I have, you know, dependents and a house and a mortgage and all those things, but I can't invest in every threat or I wouldn't survive it.
Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen helped write the 2019 back pay law. He says the statute is clear and, quote, there's nothing the administration can do to change that. For NPR News, I'm Jenny Abamu.
Texas Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton says his office is launching undercover investigations of what he calls leftist violence in Texas. Caroline Love from member station KERA has more.
Ken Paxton calls far-left political violence a clear and present danger and cites the recent killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk as an example. Extremism expert Jason Blazekas from the Middlebury Institute says the Trump administration has cut funding for federal programs aimed at preventing terrorism and violence.
This administration, unfortunately, hasn't invested in prevention, which is one of the most important ways we can stop this kind of behavior.
President Trump recently declared the leftist Antifa movement a domestic terrorist organization. Historically, far-right extremist violence has been far more prevalent in the U.S. For NPR News, I'm Caroline Love.
The price of gold has soared above $4,000 per troy ounce for the first time. Analysts say many investors are seeking a safe haven to park their money as the U.S. government shutdown continues. Gold has gained over the last year as President Trump's tariffs created economic uncertainty across the globe. This is NPR News. Peace talks between Israel and Hamas continue in Egypt on the 2-year anniversary of Hamas's surprise attack that triggered Israel's war in Gaza. The talks focus on President Trump's proposal to end the fighting, which would require Hamas to disarm. The president of France has given his outgoing prime minister 48 hours to find a solution to the political crisis engulfing the country. The crisis was set off by the resignation yesterday of the third premier this year, NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports.
Sébastien Lecornu resigned Monday before the far right and left could follow through with a no-confidence vote that brought down the two previous prime ministers. Both factions are demanding Macron appoint a premier from their party or dissolve parliament and call new legislative elections. Macron is increasingly isolated a year and a half after he dissolved parliament and lost his majority. Today, the French parliament is fractured and no party has a majority, though the biggest voting blocs are on the far right and left. There are also calls for the increasingly unpopular Macron to resign a year and a half before his term ends and hold early presidential elections. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
NFL kickers are making more long-distance field goals more frequently, with many exceeding 60 yards this season. The shift has sparked questions about whether the balls are altered. A rule change this year allows teams to prepare balls before game day. There have already been four kicks of at least 60 yards this season, close to the single-season record. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Greetings and welcome to All Night Jazz, KPR Jazz, Jazz in the Night. I'm Tom Parkinson. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate you being there. We're going to start out this hour with something, a couple of things from the drummer Jimmy Cobb, starting out with one as Jimmy Cobb, the drummer leading the group, Jimmy Cobb's Mob, it's called, and features Richard Wyans on piano with Peter Bernstein on guitar, Eric Alexander featured on tenor saxophone with John Weber on bass, and Mr. Cobb, Jimmy Cobb, behind the drums. We'll hear something from 2004, and then we'll jump back four decades and listen to something with Jimmy Cobb in the group, backing up Cannonball Adderley from the Cannonball Adderley Quintet in Chicago in 1964, a group that also featured John Coltrane, Wynton Kelly, and Paul Chambers. First, though, from 2003, here's Jimmy Cobb, Cobb's Mob, with one written by the guitarist Peter Bernstein, Jetstream. Here on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. a couple of selections featuring the great drummer Jimmy Cobb. We listened just there to Jimmy Cobb from 1964 with Cannonball Adderley, John Coltrane, Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, and Jimmy Cobb on the drums. If you recognize that personnel, this is the same group that just a few months later, with the exception of Wynton Kelly, Bill Evans in for Wynton Kelly,